If I could get your attention while you're making your way, we'll make this real quick as far as I got a short quiz for you. How many of you are here tonight? Just raise your hand. Just checking. Has everybody raised their hand? All right. Just making sure you're present. Making sure what I see is what I see. Well, we're grateful tonight to be here. Pastor Eddie and Pastor Mickey and Pastor Andrew and Anna Laura and their family are at the beach enjoying some well-deserved relaxation and vacation time. And we just pray, Lord, you bless them. Bless them with an abundance of joy and laughter and just good time. Amen. Good food. Going to the beach, that's kind of good food, isn't it? Got to throw in the good food part. How many of you raised your hand and you said, you're here tonight? How many of you you're born? How many, were all of you born? At least one? How many of you are born twice? How many of you are born again? Amen? So what I'm going to share with you tonight then is going to apply to you, okay? Because the word of the Lord always has a way of applying itself to our lives, doesn't it? So what I want to share with you, I don't know where the clicker is, Jake, so if you'll help me or we'll look in there, maybe Pastor, and it's there. I should have checked before. If it's not, we'll be all right. We'll walk through it. That's fine. Don't worry about it. That's okay. I should have checked earlier. So I want to talk to you tonight about walking in your destiny. Walking in your destiny and overcoming the giants. So you raised your hand. You're here tonight. How many of you have faced adversity? Yeah. It all goes together. It's part of life, isn't it? Some of us raising our hands, raising our feet. You know, how many can I get up? You faced a little adversity in life. You know, adversity is that trying ground where we have a decision and we have a choice. We can sink back, wilt, or we can say, okay, Lord, it's time for you to step forward. It's time for you to be God of my life. It's those, you know, I think of Peter and I think of myself in situations I've been in a little bit like Peter. In that, well, Lord, I'll never forsake you. I will never forsake you. And then what did he do before the cock crew three times? I've been there. I've been Peter. But tonight I want you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. And this is a story we're familiar with. How many of you know you've heard the spies that were sent into the land? This is the land of God's promise, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land that God told Moses they were going to possess, the land that they went from Egypt, saw the miracles where the whole army was drowned. And so one guy said, well, that thing's only a teaspoonful of water in that area. I said, well, praise God, what a miracle, right? What a miracle. It doesn't matter how you spin it, which way you go with it. I know God's just God. He's a miracle-working God. He's a God who can do the impossible. So a people that have come out, seen all of that, and in the midst of that, they've seen Moses go to the mount. They've just had all these encounters. I'm sorry, Moses hadn't went to the mount yet, but they saw the Egyptians drowned in the sea. And then they come to the promised land. And Moses sends out 12 spies. And we're going to pick up right there. In verse 13:25, Numbers 13:25. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And they came to Moses and Aaron. Sorry, that's a repeat. Stuck there. You know, just got to get that going. And the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back the word with them to all the congregation and showed them the fruit from the land. And they told them, we came into the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, just like God said it would, right? However, the people who dwell in the land are very strong. The cities are fortified and they're very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. So all they could see were the giants in the land. All they could see were the obstacles. You know, when God asks you to do something, it's going to take a step of faith. And it's going to take more than one step of faith. It's going to take a continuance of walking in faith. Your whole life is a testimony of the faithfulness of God. He is waiting to perform the miracles on your behalf so that he can prove forth his name on your behalf. See, we've looked at God in a lot of ways, and we think, well, he's sitting up there sometimes waiting to strike us down. That's because we were living under sin, and we were condemned and convicted, and then all of a sudden we begin to be born again. And we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is constantly working to rework that framework in your mind so that you have an understanding that God is a God who loves his children. He loves to lavish blessing upon his children. He loves to come to the rescue of his children. He just asks that you believe he is who he says he is. What's God spoken to you in your life that you have not yet stepped out in faith on? What's God promised you, but yet you haven't began to put forth some work toward it? Now, the work doesn't make it come to pass. The work is only your part of preparation. But when you begin to prepare, we're praying for things we should already be walking in. We're lagging behind sometimes because we haven't taken that step of faith. We didn't say, okay, God, you said do this. I don't know how to do it. I don't have the money. I don't have the finances. But look at the giants. Look at all these giants, God. I can't do it. Are we going to be like Caleb and Joshua who says we can do it because God is with us? Amen? Come on now. Saints of God, you are a people who is greater than Caleb and Joshua. You've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Come on now. It's time that we begin to realize when Jesus said it is finished, it is finished. I don't have to conjure it. I don't have to work it. I don't have to make it happen. It is finished. And you know, when he said it's finished, ain't nobody going to undo it. Ain't nobody going to make it redo. Nobody's going to stop it. It's finished. And there's so much finished in Christ that the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate to us so that we come out from under this fog that we're in, these blinders that we have on. Lord, tonight remove the blinders. Because when these spies looked at the land, all they could see were the obstacles. Oh, God, forgive us. We want to see through your eyes. We want to see with faith. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. What? Wasn't that what someone told Jesus in the Bible? He was dishonest, wasn't he? I believe, but help my unbelief. Man, sometimes the greatest prayer is, help Jesus. So you want me to walk through this valley of the shadow of death. But Lord, I'm not going to fear any evil. Woo! Because you're with me. Come on now. Come on now. If God is for you, who or what can be against you? If the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, if it is finished, it's a done deal. The way he done did, ain't nobody gonna undo it. It's a little Alabama for you. So Caleb says, he quiets the crowd. And people before Moses said, let us go at once and occupy it, for we will be able to overcome it. I love Caleb. I love Caleb. Because 40 years later, we see an old man say, give me the mountain. Give me the mountain. Give me the mountain. The promises of God are yes and amen. Amen? God, I want all you got for me. And I want it in your time. And that's now, Lord. I want to begin to prepare. I want to step now. Lord, if it's not now and it's tomorrow, I want to begin to prepare. I want to begin to prepare. Lord, give me the mountain. I want to talk to you a little bit about the verse backing up here for a minute. Verse 28. The people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified, and they're very large. We saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land. So giant number one was the Amalekites. The first thing they saw were the Amalekites. We could go to that first slide there, Jake. So, your divine destiny versus demonic resistance. Everyone has a destiny. Everyone has a calling. And the kingdom purpose in your life is to exalt God in everything you do. But between your promise and your destiny stand some giants. Next slide, please. You see, this is a declaration of war. It's a declaration that says the same Holy Spirit that crushed Goliath lives inside of you. We're not victims. We're more than conquerors. Will you be like the 10 spies and say, I'm a grasshopper? Or will you be like Caleb and Joshua and say, I know who my daddy is. God's with me. Next slide, please. The first giant was the Hittites. And the Hittites were a boss of fear and intimidation. The Hittites were fierce warriors. They were known throughout the land before they got there. They were known. They knew they were there. But when they saw them, they feared for their lives. You know, let me tell you something. What God asks you to do will cost you your life. It's not your life anyway. But it'll cost you sacrifice. It'll cost you something. But he paid the ultimate price. It'll cost you sacrifice and focus in being fully who God wants you to be. You see, the attack is paralysis and analysis. So you ever come to a problem where you feel like God's speaking to you? I'll give you an illustration in my life. When I was a young man working in a shop making knickknacks and stuff for a woodworker, and one day I walked out and there's this bar across the street. Now, I'm a good little Baptist boy. I've never been in a bar. Have no business being in a bar. I'm in Bible school. God says, I want you to go in that bar. I walked back inside and went back to work. I said, maybe when I come out later, God will change his mind. So the whole time I'm working, I'm wrestling with God. I'm like, well, Lord, that's not really you. You wouldn't want me to go in a bar. If I go in that bar in this town that I go to Bible college in, everybody's going to see me, and what are they going to think? I'm going to get kicked out of Bible college. I'm not going to fulfill the destiny you call for me. Lord, I can't go in a bar. This is the enemy. He's setting me up. So the whole time, man, God, I'm analyzing, and I'm paralyzed with fear. And then it comes time to quit. I go to the bathroom. And I say, God, if that's what you want me to do, I will do it. But you got, Lord, are you sure? So I walk out the door. And across the street is that little bar with the door open. I forget the name of it. It was something supposedly world famous in Chipley, Florida. I walked in that place. Never been in a bar in my life. There were two people in the bar. There was one guy sitting at the bar and the bartender, the lady behind the bar. And I just walked up to him and I said, I believe the Lord wants me to come in here and talk to you. The guy goes to the bathroom immediately. The lady, she can't get away. You know, I mean, she works there. She's got to stay behind the bar. So I just begin to talk to her, and I just begin to try to hear the Holy Spirit. See, even as a Baptist boy, and I've shared this before, I thought the Holy Spirit spoke to everybody. I just thought everybody had a conversation with the Lord. He'd always talk to me. I thought everybody did. So I just begin to say, okay, God, what do you want to say? Here I am. Don't leave me hanging. What do you want to say? So I just begin to have a conversation with her. And I said, as a good Baptist would, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yeah, I do. I said, do you know that God loves you so much that he'll provide for you no matter what? She said, yeah, I do. I said, can I ask you a question? Just no condemnation, but I just feel like the Lord's saying he wants you to change jobs. Now, see, that's a prophetic word of knowledge. I didn't know what it was, but I was just like, she said, I can't do that. She said, the Lord understands. I said, he does understand. And I said, he loves you. But I just believe God's got some more preparation for you. He's got another job for you. And I believe he's going to open some doors for you. Do you know that within a week, that bar was shut down? She didn't have to choose to quit. She didn't have a job anymore. I never saw her again. I don't know what was going on. But God loved that woman enough to send a little Baptist boy that was scared half to death to tell her that he's going to take care of her.
Yeah, amen. That's good.
God's looking for people that obey, even in the little things. And usually, when it doesn't make sense and you don't want to do it, it's God. I didn't think of that myself. I never in my life thought about going into a bar. But God did. Because there was somebody in there that was worth him sending me in there to tell them about Jesus. Part of your destiny, part of your calling, the ultimate part, is to be Christ-like in all situations. But when you hear that still small voice, and he tells you, this is what I want you to do. Don't let the Hittites steal it from you. Don't let paralysis and analysis and, oh, this can't be God. I'm telling you. I've learned there's a litmus test. Number one, it wasn't my idea to begin with. Number two, I don't want to do it. My flesh does not want to do it. I have to die to my flesh in order to be obedient. I'm going to tell you that happens a lot. Because I'd really rather rise up when things happen in that moment. My first instinct is to fight. It's not flight. And I've learned to say, you know what I want to do, Lord? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Because my reaction is going to create an Ishmael. It's going to create a mess. But his reaction, he's so good. He's so cunning. He's so merciful and so kind. And when it's about blessing somebody, you know it's going to be God. And when it's about you dying to that flesh, don't let that overthinker come out and you do all these mental gymnastics. Because I've also done it the other way. Let's be honest. I want you to go speak to that person. Lord, I'm too busy today. That's not God. And I just keep going. And later I go, reflecting on my day, I go, God, I missed you. I missed you in that moment. I missed you in that moment. You see, the bigger promise comes through the little steps of obedience. We always want the bigger. But then when we get to the bigger, if we hadn't had the little steps of obedience along the way, we're going to say, oh, look at the giants. Look at those giants. You see how big they are? I can't. But God says you can. So this is to cripple you. But 2 Timothy 1:7 is the code to breaking this. Activate God's Holy Spirit by resisting the devil. Unfortunately, I made these slides too small. I can't see all the way to the back. So I apologize. I need a copy of them up here. But lesson learned. He empowers you with love, with power, and a razor-sharp, disciplined mind. When you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you hear things that people aren't saying. You see things that really aren't there for you to see. But the Lord is sharing insight with you about where people are at so that he can redeem them. You ever had conversations with people and the conversations and the words and you walk away and the Lord's still speaking to you about that and you go, now that wasn't all in that conversation. But God wants me to do something with this, and if that's pray, I'm going to pray. When I was a young Christian, boy, I thought that meant get the whip out and just whoop on. I mean, I know some things. Lord's telling me some things about you. Let me tell you what he's telling me. And then God whooped me on real bad one day. He got my attention. He said, son, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm giving them truth. You giving me truth, I'm giving them truth. He said, I'm not giving you truth to beat the sheep. He said, I'm giving you truth to love them. To see things that I see, but yet I still love them. It shifted me from being a sheriff to being a shepherd. So you activate God's Holy Spirit by resisting the devil. And you watch him flee. Amen? You resist the devil, you submit to God, and what does he do? He flees. He flees. So drop that anxiety load. Fear is fake news. The Holy Ghost, courage is the only headline that really matters. Fear is fake news. Come on, guys. You've been here. You walked this long enough. How much fear have you stepped through or walked through or come through situations and go, that was a whole bunch of hooey. I had myself so worked up about something that didn't even matter, didn't even occur, wasn't going to happen. Come on now. When you get in that state of anxiety, recognize it and say, oh, Prince of Peace, I have left your side. Oh, Holy Spirit, I need your peace. I need it now. I'm telling you, in the midst of situations that are dire and life or death, you can still have peace. You can still have peace. Why does it say that it surpasses understanding? Because when it looks like a storm's raging on the outside, and you're standing there in the boat with Jesus and saying, well, he's sleeping. I might as well go to sleep too. Next slide, please. We were going to 8:30 tonight, just so you know. There's only 7 of these. We've gotten through one in 20 minutes, so just hang on. We may not get through all of them, but that's all right. You'll get the idea. The Girgashites. There were kind of represented earthly ties. Their names mean something. Each name, their name actually means like stuck, like mud. Not stuck, but like in the mud, people of the earth. And so it kind of represents, in a way, we can say, you're stuck. You're shackled by yesterday. This giant keeps you shackled to old habits, broken relationships, self-pity, preventing you from moving forward into your new season. Woo, that's a mouthful. How many times are we stuck in the past, in the present, that keeps us from going into our future? Woo, the devil likes for you to camp right there. He likes to hold you right there in that holding pattern. You're kind of like an airplane just circling right there in that moment. Lord, you know what I did there? You know what I did there? You know what I... The enemy's like, hey, you can't do that. Look at what you did. Come on, saints. Have you read this book? Have you read this thing? Woo! Some of these saints in here that God says, David was a man after his heart. He was a rascal. Jacob was a rascal. Abraham was a liar. Come on, saints. It's not about you. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. Believe God is who he says he is, and you are who he says you are. Believe that it is finished. And the victory is yours. Somewhere in this word I read, we're more than conquerors. Have y'all read that? Come on, saints. So new creation power lives in you. The old is gone. You're a new creation. The Spirit of God breaks every yoke, cutting the soul ties, the emotional chains that bind you, and yesterday's defeat. You know, God can wash that past right away. He can wash your mind. He can rewire it for the drug addict, for the homosexual. He can change your wiring in your brain that your cravings become about him instead of something else. I promise you I'm living proof. I know what an addict is. In ways that I don't talk about because it doesn't need to be public knowledge. It doesn't matter how low you are. It doesn't matter how low you go. My God, He reaches to the lowest lows and brings you to the highest highs. So once you lay those things to rest, man, the graveyard's closed, put the lid on it, and get on with it. Come on now. The past is a graveyard. Resurrection power is now. Run free from the chains of what was into the promises of what is. Slay that giant once and for all. And when you do, cut his head off. And hold it up for the enemy to see. So my God is greater than my past. Woo! Come on now. My God is a victory God. My God fights my battles for me now. Come on. It's not about his ability, or it's about our ability to understand that it is finished. It is finished. Let's move on. The giant of self-reliance and overconfidence. Some of you are going to struggle with some of these. Some are going to relate. Some are not. But all of us in here will hit us. You're blinded by independence. And this is one that men struggle with a lot. Because we think we've got to be independent. We think we've got to be an island unto ourselves, and I'm going to tell you something. God never made you to be that way. As iron sharpens iron, so another man sharpens another man. We need other men in our life to be sharp. The giant whispers, oh, you've got this. You don't need any God. You don't need to pray. You don't need to spend time with the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. You better keep that reservoir full. Because the old enemy, he's going to find one way or another in if you don't keep that cup overflowing. Let me tell you something about a picture that I saw in the Spirit the other day. That overflowing cup of the anointing oil is running out around you. It's running off you like Aaron onto the ground. And that ground around you is holy ground. That anointing oil is just flowing. And God's just pouring it out. And he's pouring it out. And he's pouring it out. And when you just let that thing flow, you let the river of that oil flow, it begins to wash. It begins to bring life all around you. You begin to be a person who walks in life and light and not darkness. The darkness that was once there begins to be washed away by the word, transformed by the renewing, by our, the word renews our minds, right? You have an inexhaustible supply of true strength, which is really found in surrender. God's full of paradoxes. Going into a situation a lot of times that you've handled a lot of times, many times anymore, I've learned to say like David did when he went up and they'd taken all of his stuff and his wives and he just whooped somebody. I'm like, well, go whoop them too, man. Come on. What are we waiting on? And he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's so, first time I read that, it just smacked me right in the face so hard. I said, whoa. Why is David asking? He's already your anointed. He's already your man. He already knows you're fighting for him. But Lord, what do you want me to do? He didn't go in his own power and in his own strength. And the Lord said, go get him. Sick him. So that divine humility moves us from limited strength to God's sovereign power. Let's let go and let God. Let God be God. You're strong, but he's sovereign. Stop trying to carry the mountain you were meant to speak to. Think about it. Stop trying to carry the mountain you were meant to speak to. Well, let's just speak grace to that mountain, and what'll happen? It'll be moved. Speak to the mountain. Don't be like Moses and get it. Speak to it. All right, next slide, please. The giant of greed and materialism. We know about this. Our culture's full of it. But the kingdom of wealth is stewardship and not ownership. All I got is his. All I have is his. Not selfishness. Break the spirit of lack by activating the mindset of heavenly abundance. There's so much here I can't unpack, but I'd love to. The Spirit redirects your heart from accumulation to generous distribution, opening the floodgates of heaven's economy. Your giving is a declaration of war. Your giving is a declaration of war. Your giving is a declaration of war over this spirit. It's saying, Lord, I may only have this one mite to give, but Elisha's asked for my food, Lord, and I believe he's your man. I'm going to give it to him. And I've been in situations where the Lord said, I want you to give that guy some money, and it's large sums of money. And I'm like, I don't have that. I mean, what I got to pay for this. The Lord said, I want you to give it. Give it. I give you an illustration. My daughter the other day, she was in Australia, and I'm going to butcher this story, but we'll get facts later. But the Lord spoke to her heart to give $125. That's a lot to her. Pretty sure it was about all she had in that moment. She has to be very frugal with what she has on the mission field. She's now in Asia. But when she gave that 125, or was it more than that? It was $250. That's right, $250. When she gave that $250, God spoke to somebody in this congregation to give 500. They didn't know. And that person didn't have 500 to give. Yeah. It all happened at the same time. Break the spirit of poverty. The spirit of not having enough. It's a mindset. It's a spirit. Break it by giving and being obedient. Now please listen to me. The Lord isn't telling you to give everything away and not take care of yourself. I've seen those too. But when the Lord speaks to give, give. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So you don't have to sacrifice everything and say, oh my goodness, look at me, I'm a martyr for Jesus. No, you just got to be obedient and listen to the Holy Spirit. Next, the parasites. This is a giant of hidden strongholds and secret sin in your life. Remember that coffin we had earlier? We threw all those things in the past. Put it in there. Put it in there. Repent. You see, because when you begin to confess before the Lord, it purifies the soul. And purity is the foundation for spiritual power. Not perfection. There's a difference between purity and perfection. Purity is me going, Lord, you see me as I am. If there's any wicked way in me, Lord, show me so that I can fall on my face before you and say, God, forgive me, because I want to be pure vessel. Step out of the shadows and into the cleansing flow of grace. God's there with open arms. He says, come on, daughter. Come on, son. Come out from the darkness. Come out from the shadows. Those things that you think are hidden, I see them. And I love you enough to not leave you in them. Amen? Is this working? Can you hear me? Okay. All right. The spirit of conviction illuminates dark places, giving you the courage for full confession and complete freedom. Darkness can't stand the light. Walk free, for you are fully known and fully loved. I'd just like to camp right there for about 30 minutes. You are fully known. You're not hiding anything. And you are fully loved. Jesus didn't go to the cross, and once he got up there to the Father, he said, well, my God, I didn't know they had all them sins. The Father didn't say, well, my goodness, I didn't know it was going to cost that much. I didn't know that Joe was hiding that. Come on now. He knew it before it ever happened, before you were ever born. He knew what you were going to do. And he said, I love you so much, I'm going to send my only son that you might have life. All right, next one, sir. This is a big one, especially for the church. For unity to be there, we've got to communicate. When someone does something that offends you, as a pastor, I have this policy. If somebody comes to me and they say, you're not going to believe what Larry did. I said, oh, yeah, I know Larry. I'll believe it. I'm going to say, I'm sorry that you're so offended. But can I ask you a question? Have you spoken to Larry? I know my brother. And I'm sure that he will hear what you have to say. And if he's wrong, he'll repent it. Why don't you go do that? I said, I tell you what we'll do. I'll go with you. I don't hear a lot of complaints. I don't hear a lot of complaints about other people after that. And you can also say, can I pray with you? Can we pray for Larry? Can we bless him? Can we bless him? God, you love Larry so much. Father, I don't know what's going on with Larry. But God, I know that you love him. And God, I just want to pour out your blessing on him today. And Father, if you give me an opportunity, and I'm supposed to share what's in my heart, I want to share it. But really, God, help me to forgive first so that I don't shed a woundedness and bitterness. This destroys that giant. Amen?
Amen?
All right, next one, sir. There should be words on there. Thank you. I think we skipped one, but that's okay. We're going to keep going. I call this the Giant Slayer's Manual. Okay? The Giant Slayer's Manual. So, activating the Holy Ghost power. You're going to have an unwavering identity because you know that you are known as you are loved. And you know that he's with you and not against you. Stop seeing yourself through the eyes of the enemy. You're not grasshoppers. You're a child of the Most High God. And if God's for you and with you, who or what can be against you? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Let me tell you something. If that's an area you struggle, you need to get those scriptures and you need to just meditate on those things. You know, John said in Revelation, they brought the book and they said, eat the book. Eat the book. Eat the book. Eat this book. Because it is your life. The Holy Spirit illuminates this thing, makes it come alive, and he begins to show you those giants in your life. And before they have a chance to react, he attacks. The power, the spiritual authority that you have is power that raised Christ from the dead. It's that dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. The one that also put all the stars in the sky, made the earth, all the things on the earth.
Hallelujah.
That power lives in us. The one who did all those things is the one who's going to carry you into battle. He's going to carry you into battle. That when those things come against you, and you've done all you can, what do? You stand. And say, oh, Lord, this is your battle. Because I can't open my mouth. I can't raise my hand. Lord, fight this fight. And he does. The other part is a strategic aggression. Giants don't leave voluntarily. How many of you, I don't want to see any hands this time, okay? But there's some giants in your life you've been dealing with for a long time. So I'm going to use David for a second and this passage as well. When David went before Goliath, he just walked up there and he said, hey, I just want you to surrender. I want would you just give up? Because if you don't, I don't know what to do. So when Caleb and Joshua went into the land, they just said, hey, our God sent us here and you just need to surrender. You know, Caleb means mad dog. God says, slay him. He says, slay him. He says, slay every one of them. Quit living with your pet giant. Slay it. Slay it. Cut its head off. Throw it in the coffin. And go to the cross. And stay there. Quit going back and getting those bones that are in the graveyard. There's nothing for you there. Giants don't leave voluntarily. They must be slain by a declaration of faith and a bold action. If you'll stand with me as Eric comes to play, or we put on music, whichever one we're going to do. By the way, I just want to say thank you, Eric, for leading worship earlier. Thank you. I just thank you for your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. So, there should be some people that are on prayer team. If there's not, we're going to pull a few out. If there's some giants in your life tonight that need to be slain, I want you to come on up because there's some prayer warriors up here that want to slay some giants. There's some giant killers going to be standing up here at this altar and they're saying, let's kill some giants in your life. Let's declare in your life that it is finished. That you don't have to live under that oppression no more. You don't have to let that demon minister to you no more. You can shut him up right now. Come on now. As the music plays, I just want you to make your way forward. The Lord's speaking to some tonight. You've identified with some of these things. I want you just to come on forward. Come on forward. You know, when Moses went to Pharaoh and Pharaoh said, I want you to get rid of these frogs. And Moses said, when? He said, tomorrow. I don't know about you, but I'd have said, right now, get rid of the frogs. One more night with the frogs. Why? I tell my mama this all the time. She's in pain. I said, well, have you been to the doctor? No. I said, just one more night with the frogs? Why are you doing that? Come on now. There's some more of you I think that the Lord wants to minister to tonight. We're not going to hold you long. I know we went over. I appreciate your attentiveness. I appreciate you staying and listening. Anybody else? This altar's open. If you want to come forward, come forward. The Lord is going to be doing something in you. He's going to be identifying these enemies. I've been praying, and I believe he listens. Because I believe it's his heart. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. That he wants to slay some giants. I wanted to title this message and preach a different message tonight called, Are You Ready? Are you ready? But the Lord said we got to lay axe to some things before we go to are you ready. But God's got some things coming down the pike for you at Grace House. It's one of the reasons made it hard for me to leave. And I said, Lord, if you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't go, I'm not going. I'm not going without you. I want your presence more than anything. Are you ready? Keep slaying those giants. Father God, right now I just thank you that you are a giant slayer. These giants, if you've slain them in so many lives, Lord, you speak and they tremble. They know what's coming, Lord. They fear this message. They fear you, God. They fear being in the limelight when the Holy Spirit has guided them in his sights, Lord. He's a sniper, taking them out left and right. And tonight we declare freedom from these giants. We declare freedom from these things. We declare freedom from fear. We declare freedom from anxiety. We declare freedom from the things that attack us, Lord, from the lack of faith, Lord. We whatever that is that attacks that faith, God, let it arise in this house, God, that you may move mightily the way you want to, God. Let faith arise in this house. And let those giants tremble because they're coming down like trees, Lord. Let it be a war cry of timber, Lord. Timber, Lord. Timber. There goes another one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, that you're a giant slayer. We thank you, God, that you're slaying the giants in our lives. Identify them. Point them out. And may we release the Holy Spirit on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you for coming.